My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Talk New York sports with us, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, we've hit the 11 o'clock hour. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal Dove, Mr. Pink Guy, Pete Hoffman. They're both across the way. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. My buddy over at Pix 11, Nelson Figueroa. We work together at SNY as well. Former major league pitcher. Figgy joins me now to talk a little Mets, talk a little Yankees. Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, my man. What's up?
Let's talk a little second half here. Well, let's start with the Mets here. I kicked off the program talking a little bit about Nestor's tweet and the Yankees, but let's start with a little bit about the Mets. How much belief do you have, Figgy, that what we saw over the last 5-6 weeks is sustainable for the Mets?
Listen, I think in the beginning it was kind of fluky, and you talked about streaks in baseball, right? They had the 0-5 start, and then you figure they'd right the ship with a 5-0 run somewhere here and there. But this has been a different, I think, vibe about the whole ball club, right? You're looking at guys top to bottom, the lineup all of a sudden, it's the same players. But now we talk about the lineup a little bit differently. We talk about the depth in the lineup. We talk about how, you know, just moving some pieces around, like Lindor in the leadoff spot, Brandon Nimmo being moved, you know, whether it's 2 or 3. They just totally changed their seasons. And JD Martinez rounding into form, of course, in the middle of the lineup, that professional bat that we thought was protection for Alonso has actually done well just on his own in the 3 spot. You go down, and I think the biggest key to this lineup, Bader has been fantastic, hitting more home runs already than he did all of last year. And then you look at a kid like Alvarez, who is starting to come into his own, and just would love to see him just stay healthy enough to put together, a strong, 60 games and be able to put up the numbers that he's capable of, because his catching behind the plate has gotten so much better. Guys are comfortable with him. He's throwing out runners. His calling, his command of the game has all gotten much better. And just, if you think of this bullpen was just not terrible, they could have easily 4 more wins added on and be well over, we're talking 6, 7, 8 games over 500.
Yeah, unfortunately. We'll get to the bullpen here momentarily. You mentioned Alvarez here, Figgy. You've been around baseball a long time. Are you surprised not just by what he is as a prospect, how his defense has improved? The thing that has impressed me for a young guy, the leadership role he's taken on with this team.
Oh, yeah. I think that what really has been the biggest difference, last year you had Buck Showalter, veteran manager, liked to do things his way, liked to kind of keep people in their place. You know, when I was brought up, it was, you know, you had to earn it before it was given to you. And nowadays, we've seen guys come into the league at, you know, very young ages of 20, 21 years old. And, hey, be yourself, you know, let the kids play. But Buck Showalter would talk about Alvarez in the light of, I hear he's a superstar, but he hasn't shown me anything yet. And, you know, not giving him enough playing time to kind of get acclimated to the big leagues and show what he was capable of doing. And so that stunted his growth a little bit last year. Then on top of that, you had two Hall of Fame pitchers who like to do things their way. And so, again, Alvarez didn't let his personality shine, didn't let his swagger shine. And this year when I went down to spring training, just watching him carry himself, walking around the clubhouse and you know, going in front of the media, speaking in English, all the different things that he felt he couldn't do last year, he got a chance to be himself. And I think Carlos Mendoza, also being Venezuelan like he is, helped bring that out of him. You know, just be yourself. And he's risen to the top very quickly. He's the fourth highest catcher on the team, but you couldn't tell that by the way he carries himself. He knows it's his opportunity. It was going to be his job. Let him be the starter right from the very beginning, and he was doing well until the thumb injury. But he, as a catcher, the team has a 3.42 ERA with him. A 3.42 ERA. That's damn good for a whole pitching staff and a young kid who's still coming into his own and the way that he is handling himself as a catcher. Now is the other side of the game with the power hitter. Undeniable, tremendous power. I just can't wait to see him kind of put it all together and just get on a nice roll.
Figgy, what do you make of Alonso? You know, didn't have a great all-star a couple days, home run derby, an all-star game, struck out in his lone appearance. But first half, do you look at a guy that's not handling the pressure of a contract year? Do you look at him aging poorly? And do you think his future past this season? Like, do you think there's any chance the Mets move him come July 30th and the MLB trade deadline? Do you think Pete Alonso is a Met in 25?
If the sky falls, that's the only way that they move him. I don't think there's any reason to move him. I don't think there's any, this is the lowest that you would get for a Pete Alonso of any kind of, you know, prospects or anything for a rental. The other thing is about bringing him back. He's homegrown. He's still productive. He's another one that, he hasn't been himself as of yet. But
why is that? I mean, Figgy, why do you think Alonso has looked the way that he has looked? I mean, people are going to point to the fact that he's got 21 doubles. You know, he's hitting .240, 19 home runs, 51 RBIs, but he hasn't been impactful, right? And he expected more, especially with him to respond in a contract year, and you haven't gotten that this year from Alonso.
Yeah, and I think one of the really big reasons is that, I mean, the other guys in front of him have come through so many times. J.D. Martinez, you know, especially moving in front of him, batting in front of him. You let Nimmo, you have Lindor. So those guys have been, you know, off the page since June 2nd, that they've carried this team mostly. And when Pete does it, it's been an addition too. It hasn't been Pete Alonso and the Mets. You know, we're used to hearing that, right? Pete Alonso and his power. But if you take out, like you said yesterday on the show, you take out the COVID year, this guy's averaging over 40 home runs and over 100 RBIs easily every year. Can he get back to that pace? Sure. Can he get hot and all of a sudden just turn it on to another level? Absolutely. As long as I think poor Dave, who pitched him in the home run derby and showed how to get him out with 40-mile-an-hour breaking pitches, I think he'll be just fine. I think he's going to really respond well here in the second half. I don't think it's like a Conforto situation. I don't think it's a Conforto situation where all of a sudden, man, he just looks lost. He doesn't look lost to me. He looks like he's kind of in between of what he wants to do. We know what he's capable of doing when he hits the ball. It goes a long way. Expanding his strike zone has always been a thing, not swinging at the sliders off the plate and bouncing pitches. He looks as if he wants to be involved with all the success that's happening ahead of him and at sometimes trying too hard. If he just can slow it down a little bit and not be so jumpy and trying to hit a 5-run home run with nobody on, he's not going to make up for that lost time. I think an example of that guy is Francisco Lindor, right? that April really, really slow start, but then you start to see him turn it on and you know what he's going to be. He's going to be around 30 home runs and he's going to be around 100 RBIs. This is just what he does. The batting average, he never was going to be that high batting average guy that we thought he was capable of being in that 270, 280 range. He's been a 240 hitter most of his career. So I think if you can accept the 240 hitter who can hit you 40 and 100, he's going to be that guy. And I still think he has a really good streak coming. And he's had propensity in the past for the clutch moment, right? We see his name next to a lot of the big moment home runs, the game enders, the celebrations. It's been Pete Alonso that's done that mostly. This year's team, I think it's spread out a little bit more. And it's not all reliant upon Pete Alonso being the hero every time.
Figgy, how many bullpen arms, if you were, you know, if you had the year of David Stearns, you know, we're sitting here middle part of the month of July, a couple weeks out from the MLB trade deadline. It's going to be here before we know it. How many bullpen arms, the quality of the bullpen arm are you looking for come the MLB trade deadline or before? And there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be looking for bullpen help.
Yeah, that's the thing. The expanded playoffs and also, you know, the National League not playing particularly well. We're right around 500 is got you feeling like you have a chance to get into the playoffs. It's going to be a lot more either there's not going to be as many sellers. Maybe people staying pat because they're going to try and ride it out. But I don't know if you're going to buy, it may be expensive. But if you're willing to go for it, yes, the Mets sorely need two relievers. They need a lefty and a righty. Diekman has kind of hit a wall here in the last few weeks. Ottavino is kind of that guy that you know what he is. He can be on, he can be off, and that's a concern. Edwin Diaz is still not the Edwin Diaz that we saw 2 years ago, and that is a major concern to me because even the other night he came in, he struggled a little bit, he threw a slider, and they're like, oh, his best slider of the afternoon, and the guy actually swung under it because he hung it. And like, that was the best slider of the afternoon. He's still not himself. So I've got to get two arms in here if I'm going to compete and feel like these games, they're so meaningful to continue to carry on that momentum of what the offense has been doing. The offense has been what has carried this team.
Yeah,
and the defense as well.
Yeah, the offense has been great. We'll get to Iglesias here momentarily. But do you think right now, you think Cohen and Stearns, in your opinion, do you think without question they will add, or are they looking at this stretch that opens up with the Marlins tomorrow night, the Yankees, that this team still needs to show Stearns a little bit more in order to be aggressive, or do you think he's going to be aggressive regardless?
I think they can't let off. This team can't let off the gas pedal of what they were doing. I know the break. It's like the break came at the wrong time for the Mets. You know, they lost that last game right beforehand, but they won five straight before that again. A nice another streak. And that the way that they were playing, and they had a chance in that final game as well. You know, they had guys on base multiple times. So I do think that there is a change in there's a shift in what the thought process was, right? Remember, it was a punt, let the younger players develop, and then we see what we have going into 2025. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think the way that this team has played and listen, let's put it this way. I don't know ever in the history of baseball that a backup infielder comes up and not only plays over a guy who's in a guaranteed deal and a guy who was a silver slugger and an all-star. He plays over him, and after you win a game on a Friday night, he gives a concert.
Yes.
That you are endorsing and backing. So if you're going to be endorsing and backing something like that and riding the wave of the grimace, riding the wave of all the things that are fan-based, and we talked about Steve Cohen being fan-based. Listen, David Stearns is in charge of the baseball operations. You can't tell me this team doesn't have the pieces and have that vibe that they can do something in the playoffs. So what is it going to cost you, right? I don't know. Chapman, I thought Chapman would have been a very nice piece to add, a Diaz-Chapman 1-2 punch in the offseason. He only went for $10 million to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think that's an arm that I would be very interested in bringing in the back end of the bullpen.
All right, you mentioned Iglesias here, Figgy.
Yep.
Are you a former teammate? You know Jose really well. Are you surprised by, you know, the impact that he has had? And not just, you knew he's always been a really good fielder, but what he's been able to provide for this team offensively and how he's basically taken the job.
Yeah, He's even surprised. I talked with him when we did the Subway series. I got a chance to catch up with him. And listen, the song was out of nowhere, and the fans have gravitated to it. We talk about it all the time. It's a catchy song. We find ourselves in the office kind of singing it every now and then. And once one person sings it, everybody starts humming it at some point during the day. I think when you talk about the player himself, when you don't play in the major leagues for a year, you are hungrier than ever. You work harder than ever. Maybe he got complacent with, you know, the fact that he was a glove guy and it wasn't so much of his bat. Well, everything is predicated around offense nowadays. Not saying that he's a guy who's going to hit you 30 home runs, but he is swinging the bat differently than he has in his career in the past. He's not the slap hitter that we're used to seeing. This guy's driving the ball. This guy's having tremendous at-bats. I'll go back to that at-bat against Pittsburgh where they came back and won that ball game because of the at-bat that he had against Chapman. He is that vibe of the Mets team, that the underdog, the guy that's been counted out. He was in the major leagues at all last year, at all. And this is a guy with a gold gloves type defensive ability. So he's getting a resurrection in his career. He's only 34 years old. I know I misspoke and said he was around 40 because I was almost around 40 when I put him. I figured he had to caught up to me by now. he's such a joy to be around, and he gets it. And that's the one thing he spoke about, was not taking it for granted, that he was going to grab onto this opportunity and make the most of it. And he has. And I think everyone that has been around him since spring training, all the guys he's worked with, all the rookies, all the young prospects, even the veterans like Lindor, they are still learning things from each other, and they're learning and they're doing this all together, which I think is a very different chemistry than we saw, especially compared to last year's team.
Figgy, let's move over to the Yankees here. They won 58 games in the first half. They've got about 64 games to go here in the MLB regular season. 8-18 last 26 games. Concern level. Let's start there. Concern level when you look at the Yankees of being able to accomplish, not make the playoffs, accomplish the goal of winning a World Series this year.
Well, I mean, you got to liken it to, because you always hear the cliche, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. Well, yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but you started out sprinting. And everybody expected you to keep up that pace. It was an impossible pace that they were all on. Pitching, hitting, you had Judge after, you know, a subpar April. The pace that he was on was historic. Soto was right there on a historic pace in front of him, going to smash all of his personal highs. And I think when you started to look at it that way, it seemed like, wow, this is just a freight train that no one was going to be able to catch up to. And then you realize that on the same train, maybe the caboose car at the time was the Baltimore Orioles. They weren't going anywhere. And I kept saying that to you. We'd sit there and we'd laugh. We're like, oh, the Yankees, 22 games over 500.
Everything felt like win day. But there were the Orioles just hanging around, hanging around, hanging around.
And that was the whole thing. Every time you looked in the rearview mirror, objects appear closer than they really are. No, they were only 3-4 games behind. And then they just kept keeping pace and keeping. Imagine if the Orioles didn't stink up, you know, the last day.
Oh, they'd have
games.
A 5-6 game lead.
Exactly, but I don't think it's panic time for the Yankees, because we know there's a bunch of different things, right? You have injuries. You have Giancarlo Stanton was hitting like the Giancarlo Stanton that we know. We were hoping that he would get through a full season without an injury, but as Brian Cashman said, you expect it, and it happened. But it has definitely changed the vibe of that lineup, right? If I can just get past Judge and by all means, get past him, put him on, hit him, walk him, whatever you got to do. Don't pitch to the guy. And then face everybody else, because we've seen the struggles of everybody else behind him. The number 4 hole hitter is batting .209 on the year. The number 8 hole hitter is also batting .209. So that tells you the kind of production you're having behind Judge. So it's not even about protection with Judge. So why are you even pitching to Judge? Pitch to the next guy. Put him on. Make him a base runner. I don't care. I'd rather see him try to score from first than let him just trot the bases. Now, when it comes to the bottom half of that lineup,
they stink.
The pieces, no matter what you've tried to do, you know, Rizzo, it didn't. I know Rizzo's out, but he wasn't tearing it up. DJ LeMahieu is a shell of what he could be. Gleyber Torres, you want to talk about a contract year pressure? Gleyber Torres has absolutely stunk up the joint. And then you look at Ben Rice has been a tremendous find, right? They move him to the top of the lineup to get him more at bats. It's that infusion of a little bit of excitement, right? You see the joy that he plays with. There's no pressure on Ben Rice. He's playing on, you know what I mean? He's playing on house money right now. And he goes up there with those at-bats, and he's playing with house money. Gleyber Torres knows that this could be it for him as a Yankee, and he's not doing too well looking towards the future. So I think that there's a lot of different things with the Yankee lineup that are lackluster. I think they still have the piece of Dominguez, if he ever is able to come back and add that infusion as well into the outfield. Verdugo has to find himself and not be a, you know, one swing wonder where we talk about the one home run he hits every 2 weeks. He's played some good defense. And then of course we blame him for that last one with the balls over his head. So the days of the dogs and barking in the dugout, I haven't seen that in quite some time. And I think that all came with the starter starting to get hit around. You had Stroman, you know, showing his frustration. Judge having to, you know, let him know that's not how we do it here. Rodon showing his frustration when plays weren't made. There's a lot of frustration going around, and yet they still are, you know, well above 500. And now they can have a reset here with the All-Star break. But they've got to come out and they've got to do their thing, because we talked about it with the Mets. There was a point where we saw the schedule and we say, hey, they're going to be playing against some teams that they can beat. And it was like a 40-game stretch. And that's what they've done. They've gone on that 40-game stretch, and they've taken care of business. The Yankees, they've started to play some of the better teams. And when they play some of the better teams and they go toe-to-toe, the pressure is always on the Yankees. And I don't think they've handled it well as of yet, but hopefully they can learn from these experiences, learn from this first half, and then find themselves more of what they're capable of doing here in the second half.
Of the starters for the Bombers that have struggled as of late, we'll take Cole out of the mix. I want to ask you a comparison between Cole and Senga here second half, because the Mets are going to get Kodai back. But when you look at Rodon, you look at Stroman, you look at Nestor Cortez, Heels was better in his last start. When you look at those four guys, which one of those four do you have the most confidence in that can really kind of have sustained success second half?
Rodon scares me because we thought he figured it out this year, and it was the bounce back, you know, all the health concerns last year, the back and everything else. And he looked healthy. And I mean, he's topping out at 99 miles an hour, which is great. Only problem is the exit velo is also topping out higher as well. So we got to tamper down are just trying to overthrow hard when things aren't going our way. He's given up a ton of home runs. And we said that he's a fly ball pitcher, and how much it didn't make sense for the Yankees to sign a fly ball pitcher, especially in Yankee Stadium. So Rodon is the one that I think he's going to have to figure it out and make adjustments. Stroman, he is what he is. He's a 90% breaking ball guy who moves the ball around the plate, who changes timing, changes tempos, and he relies upon the defense. So I think of Stroman. Luis Gil, like you said, is pitching. You know, he had the little bump in the road, but we've never seen him pitch this much. He's never seen himself pitch this much at the big league level. And so teams are making adjustments, realizing that he's not a three-pitch pitcher. He's really a two-pitch pitcher. He has to use that slider more. You know, getting Clark Schmidt back is going to help. I think a bunch with this, not just the rotation, but if he has to go to the bullpen, because he can give them some length. I don't know, man. I think it's not even about Cole so much as Cortez has really tried to pitch and stayed steady throughout this whole thing. I think Cortez is kind of that key. Rodon, sometimes he just gets in his own head and he looks like he's defeated before he even delivers a pitch. And when he gets beat against those bad teams, you know, like we saw Toronto jump all over him, he just looks lost. And that's not okay for a guy who's a veteran pitcher like that.
All right, a couple quick hitters, Figgy, before we let you go. Number one, who's more important when you look at the two locals, when you're looking at the top of the rotation starters to the success of their team second half, Cole or Senga?
I mean, we saw the Yankees run out to, you know, 20 plus over 500 start without Cole.
But their starters, I mean, at that stage, were pitching to a 2.45 ERA. That was not sustainable.
Yeah. No. Exactly. That definitely was not sustainable. But I do think that it was a large enough sample size to that they should be able to feel good about that. The Mets, it's a influx of not just the caliber of starter, right? Because he's an all-star, he's a guy with frontline stuff. then you start moving pieces around and the bullpen gets a little bit stronger. Whoever winds up being the odd man out can go to the bullpen. I think Senga, and you're getting an ace where everybody else, there wasn't any ace type caliber pitchers. Severino was, you know, a reclamation project, and he has pitched very well. Manaea, you know, is a guy that you weren't sure if he was going to be able to continue the success from last year. So if you look at all those different things, I think Senga is a much bigger key for his team's success than Cole would be.
Okay, so Senga, much bigger key. Which team do you have more confidence in here second half? Like, if I'm going to ask you, Figgy, and I know you're a former Met, right? But if I'm going to ask you, you know, second half here, great vibes around the Mets. Yankees, you know, staggered into the All-Star break. Yankees higher expectations, obviously, than the Mets coming into the year. Which team do you believe in more going into the second half, the Mets or the Yankees?
I think it tells me which front office believes in their team more, right, by the trade deadline. Which one gets reinforcements, which one just kind of stays pat. But for me, I think if I was just putting it all out there right now, I'd have to say in a bad National League that I'm riding the waves with the Mets, and the Mets are a dangerous team. Once they get into the playoffs, I think they have the ability to match up with all the different teams that they've shown that they can play against. The Yankees, I'm not sure how they're going to feel, especially if Boston turns it up a notch. What if Boston turns it up a notch and catches the Yankees, and now the Yankees are in third place? We saw what happened to them last year where, you know, that was I get it once every 30 years, but that was the pressure was not to finish under 500.
Yeah, I mean, Figgy, if you ask Nestor Cortez, he's just happy to compete for a playoff spot every year and happy to be in contention at the end. So that's
you got to remember where Nestor Cortez came from. Nestor Cortez came from the Baltimore Orioles, back in the bad Baltimore Orioles. Nestor Cortez had a 6 ERA. Oh, Nestor Cortez found himself in a Yankee uniform having success. And so, yes, I get it. But as you always put it eloquently, the seats are going to be filled either way at Yankee Stadium, right?
That doesn't matter. They made $679 million last year. I get it. The Yankees print money in the Bronx. There's no question about it. Go out there and win a World Series.
So my point of who the front office believes in more, which team goes out there and makes the moves that helps to add reinforcements is the team that really wants to go for it. The other team that sits pat and says, we don't want to waste our assets. The Yankees aren't going to not waste assets. They give up 6 players to get Juan Soto, 6 players, 4 of them being pitchers. I mean, you have to get something that you're in need of, and you're in need of a pitcher. You're in need of a guy who can close as well. You don't have confidence in Holmes right now. You do not have confidence in Holmes right now as your closer. There's no way you can say that you do.
I think six that's blown saves.
He has more blown saves than Edwin Diaz.
But he's an All-Star, Figgy. Let's not forget, he was down in Houston. He was wearing those ugly down in Arlington, wearing those ugly unis.
Hey, Moose, did he warm up when they had to leave? That's very telling.
last one, Soto here for you would be this. Do you think he said all the right things? We know the Yankees want to bring him back. We know all the reports about the Mets. I'm just, from a player perspective, you can answer this. Do you think Soto has thought about it or has an idea in a perfect world of what he wants to do this offseason? Or do you think he is just completely locked in this year?
I have never seen a hitter that is locked in from the moment he gets to the ballpark. His drills that he does before batting practice of just front toss, when you flip the ball to your kid, he doesn't move. He doesn't swing unless it's a strike. Batting practice, Brad Ausmus is throwing batting practice. He threw the first 5 pitches he threw to Soto. 4 of them happened to be balls. Soto didn't swing at any of them. And Ausmus is just kind of like, man, he's just missing the corners and everything else. He doesn't swing. He prepares. He focuses on that at-bat, on that pitch. You can see it every single at-bat, Moose. So I don't think he is worried about any of that. You know why? Because at the end of the day, there is a huge payday coming to him.
Right, but do you think he's thought about his destination? Like, I think one way or the other, he's going to be in New York. Do you think he's thought about the Bronx, thought about Queens? Do you think that, you know, he's sitting there, you know, he's taking the flight down to Arlington? Do you think it ever enters his mind? It has to enter his mind at some point.
I think, honestly, if he's sitting back and, like we're saying now, like, what's the vibe on both sides? One side's corporate, where there's an expectation. There is a, and you should have the expectation.
The other
right?
side's a nightclub. Expectation. Dancing OMG.
Well, this is the thing. Does he have OMG in his playlist? If OMG is on his playlist, then we know where his head's at. But I do think...
Who doesn't love a little Candelita?
Listen, I do think there's a comfortability with the Latin vibe that is around Queens right now. I do think that he is someone that he's going to be able to pick where he wants to go. He wants to be comfortable. He wants to be a guy in his own skin, where he loves being in the pinstripes. Okay, he loves being around Judge. There's no doubt about that. Those two are you know, they're thick as thieves, and they're answering each other's questions at the All-Star game and everything else. So I do think that he fits in very nicely. You know, I've never seen him with a beard, never seen him grow facial hair. He's kind of been prepping himself for that moment. He is a guy that he's going to be getting that, you know, over $500 million offer from probably six teams that can actually try and figure out a way to make the math work. And of those six teams, he can pick anything he wants. There's no pressure for Juan Soto. None.
No, there's not.
He's
in a good spot, knowing that that money is coming his way regardless. One way or the other, he is going to get paid following this year.
Yeah, this isn't a Cody Bellinger situation where it was a nice bounce back year. You know, people talked about it last year. Oh, you know, he wasn't the same. Listen, this guy puts up numbers every single year, and he is only 26 years old. You forget that he was up in the big leagues at the age of 19, you know, battling it out with some of the, you know, guys who were from my era hanging on still. Hey, this kid is staring at me. I'm going to throw at him. And then they threw at him, and then they threw a pitch over the middle of the plate, and he hit it, you know, 480 feet. This is a different breed of free agent, or of hitter than we're used to seeing. This isn't a guy who's changed his approach. He's not a launch angle guy. This is a guy who just takes every at-bat personal, and he loves to compete, and we love to watch it.
Yeah, we certainly do, and we're going to watch it tomorrow night when the Yankees entertain the Tampa Bay Rays. Nelson Figueroa, Picks 11, Sports Nation Nightly. I do it with him each and every night at 7 o'clock. Figgy, just a personal question for you. I often talk about my wife, Donna, on the air, on the radio, on television as well.
Yep.
What would you rate? You're a former athlete. What would you rate my athletic ability, 1 to 10? I'll tell you my wife's rating after you rate me.
See, here's the thing. I have to figure out what your forte is, like what your sport is. Like yesterday when you said about, you know, you were on the swimming team, I did kind of give you a double take. I'm not going to lie to you.
And yeah, because I'm not 6'4". I'm not 6'4". I'm barely 5'11".
the long and lankiness necessary for a good aquatic athlete just isn't there. No. But again, your nickname is the Moose, so you got to be strong. You got to be steadfast.
I was a good baseball player. I could hit a little bit.
I think you could hit a little bit. I think you could turn the double play. I think you're a guy who, on a football field, I could see you being a great fullback, you know, opening up holes. You know, this is what I think of when I think of the Moose. Yeah,
thank you. You didn't give me you're honestly, it's a very PC answer. You still haven't answered the question 1 to 10. You're talking around it. What do you give me?
Until further notice, where I see something and you do something, I'm going with a 5.
Oh, higher. Higher than my wife. My wife graded me out about a 2.
No, she did not. She's got to give you at least a 3. You have 3 kids.
Oh, that's right. No, I wasn't talking about that room. We were talking about the athletic fields. Figgy, I love you, brother. I'll see you tonight, all right?
You got it. See you later.
All right, Nelson Figueroa from Fix 11. 11:30, Malusis with you, in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Figgy likes the vibes going around the Mets here going into the second half. What says you? We'll get to your calls next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8. Incredible. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year. And this place is absolute bedlam here at Shea.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Can't wait to get wrong.
Let's get it. Yeah, call right now. Be the, let's see, fifth caller. Caller number 5-866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your last chance to win a pair of tickets to see Limp Bizkit at PNC Bank Arts Center on Tuesday, July 30th from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com. Listen again tomorrow. Tomorrow, the same time for another chance to win. They go see Fred Durst and the boys, July 30th, PNC, Taller 5. Good luck, one and all. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Oradell, New Jersey. It's Bill. It's The Fan. What's going on, Billy?
Moose, how are you, brother?
I'm fantastic, Bill.
I tell you, I swear to God, you are the most talented guy on this station. For the life of me, I do not understand why you don't have a regular show.
Well, I appreciate it. Bill, thank you so much. Checks in the mail. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
You know what, Moose? I just want to say one thing, and I know you have to hang up because you got a million callers. But this whole thing about Cortez and even Soto, I mean, these people are more worried about their bat flips and the goofing around on the mound that guy was doing when he first got here. I'm a little bit older than you. I grew up in, like, the Mantle Maris era.
Right.
Those guys had class and humility. What happened to that?
Yeah, I mean, Bill, I don't think it's a bad thing showing personality. I really don't. I have no issue with the way that Nestor wants Soto, any other player that wants to show a little bit more flair, so to speak. when they go out there and play the game. I think, unfortunately for Major League Baseball, what has hurt them is that kind of old school mentality that that stuff is not allowed or is not going to be tolerated, which I think is complete and utter nonsense. So to me, it's more about the mentality. It, you know, that was the issue that I had with Nestor Cortez, is more of the mentality of the Yankee player, because I grew up in an era where Yankees, I mean, when I first started going to Yankee Stadium, Yankees weren't winning World Series. I mean, they weren't. I still enjoyed going to the games, but, you know, I remember when Stump Merrill was managing the team, when Kevin Moss exploded for a little bit of time, when the Yankees would make one bad trade after another and bended to the knee of the will of George Steinbrenner when he would get irrationally angry. Like, all those things, right? So, but when the Yankees were great, when they turned a corner in the mid to late 90s, it was fantastic. And that mantra and that mindset of if you don't win, it's a failure. Now, that's irrational. You're not going to win a World Series every single year. But this idea of, I'm happy to compete. I'm happy to contend. We're happy to be there. Like, all of that is just, to me, the wrong mindset to have. What separated and differentiated the Yankees from everybody else was that was never their mindset. And it seems to be now. No. And that's where the pushback comes from.
Yeah, I understand you fully, Moose. Thank you very much for listening to me, and you're the best, pal.
You got it, Bill. Appreciate the call, man. And, you know, listen, Cortez can go out there and he can react to anybody he wants to react to. I mean, he can. I mean, he could go react to Gunnar Henderson and David Ortiz on, you know, watching a game and watching the All-Star festivities down in Arlington, as he did, you know, on social media. And this is not just a matter of tearing down, you know, the Yankees starting pitcher. No, it's a matter of just the mindset. That's where the concern is. As much as we want to go out there and look at Judge as a hitter and what Aaron Judge has been in the regular season, and he's been fantastic, right? Historically great. When we hit the month of May this year, Aaron Judge completely and utterly turned his season around, and he has been historically great, fantastic. But he still has to perform in October. And that's really what it's grading all about. If we're going to go all of a sudden start to raise banners for finishing above 500 during the course of the regular season or remaining in contention, well, then the Yankees have completely lost their way. Then we're back to the culture of everybody gets a trophy, which is not the case, right? It's not a matter of it shouldn't be. There are winners and there are losers. Every single year, there's only one team that wins that championship. You could have a breakout season. You could have build towards something. You could do that. That's not what this year is all about for the Yankees. And as we approach, and we'll talk about with Heyman come at 12:20 this afternoon. But as the Yankees approach the July 30th MLB trade deadline, as we were just talking with Nelson Figueroa, here's the thing. Here's the equation. How aggressive are you going to be? And my answer to this is you got to be as aggressive as you possibly can. Because that's where this team is about. Brian Cashman wants to be irritated when people bring up the fact that they haven't won a World Series since 2009 because he wants to bring up the 2017 Astros cheating scandal. Brian Cashman wants to go out there and go on a tirade because people are misrepresenting the Yankees analytics department at the GM meetings this past offseason. All well and good. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Like, that's fine. He can do that, but then there needs to be some sort of accountability as well. And I understand that Hal is afraid to make any sort of change and is very, very comfortable with Cash. And I'm not hopping on these airways talking about the fact that Brian Cashman needs to be fired. No, I think it's amazing how long he's lasted in this job. Amazing has the ability to be able to adapt and change with the times. Like, all that is a credit to Cashman. It really is. We can get into the talent evaluation. We can get into, you know, the development of players. That's an organizational issue, and obviously he's the head of that organization from a player personnel perspective. But look in that mirror, put on that pinstripe jersey, and be proud to be a Yankee instead of going out there and saying, "You know what, let's try and be a little bit different." Because as I mentioned earlier in the program, there was some point in time, I don't know when the date was, don't know when the year was, the Yankees as an organization said to themselves, "Well, We're gonna try and be a little bit different. We have the unbelievable wealth. We have the Scrooge McDuck kind of money. Now we're going to go out there and overwhelm them with our brain power." That's what they decided to do. And that is where, and along with that, came the accountability going out the door. and it's just a kind of a capsule, the tweet by Cortez, of the mindset of the player. Now, maybe not every single one of those players have a similar mindset. I'm not going to tell you on this Thursday midday that that is indeed the case. But he's a starting pitcher on the team, and he's talking about, and I get it was a long journey for Nestor Cortez to make it to the major league level. But if you're going to react to what people are saying, criticizing the Yankees during the course of the All-Star game, or whether it be reacting to, you know, Joe or Jane Q, you know, Yankee fan on social media, or what you hear on the airwaves, or what you see on another television station, whatever it might be, you know what? Pipe down. Go win some games. You put that jersey on to try and win a World Series. That's the goal. Not to be contenders. They should be contenders. They spend a lot of money. Wanacue. Peter, the fan. What's going on, Peter?
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my phone call. I had a few points I wanted to discuss. And number one is a lot of people are always quick to say, fire this guy, fire that guy. We've got to get rid of this other guy. But they never have the solution. If you fire a player, give me who you're going to replace him with. That's number one. Number two, I heard a caller earlier talking about the young Steinbrenner versus the old George Steinbrenner, who would be able to go out and get any player he wanted. Okay, well, tell me who you want to get. You know, it's not that easy to just say these players are available well, and
is,
I can get them.
That is not true. I remember as a youngster when the Yankees wined and dined Barry Bonds, who was leaving the Pirates, and wined and dined Greg Maddux when he was leaving the Cubs. I think at the old 21 Club here in New York City. And I believe, if memory serves me correct, that Susan Waldman at that time, who was a station reporter, and she'd cover the Yankees, the Knicks, and was there with the Riley days and everything like that. And obviously, Susan, a legendary voice here on this radio station, provided the updates of that dinner that evening when the Yankees tried to get those two free agents to come here to New York. Now, we know what happened, right? Bonds ended up going to San Francisco, signing with the Giants, and Bonds and Maddux ended up going to the Atlanta Braves. So those were two guys the Yankees at that stage wanted to bring in. Both of them said thanks, but no thanks. Let's be honest. I mean, Roger Clemens initially didn't want to become a Yankee. I mean, that's, you know, the Yankees wanted Clemens earlier, you know. And you look at, so, you know, yes, there's a stage where the Yankees have swooped in. They've gotten Sabathia in the past. They got, obviously, A.J. Burdett. They went and got Mark Teixeira under the cloak of the night. Nobody was expecting that at the time. And then Cashman swooped in and signed Mark Teixeira. They brought in Jason Giambi. I'm not talking about the fact that the Yankees need every single star in order to go out there and win. It's the mindset and the cultural shift that bothers me.
You're right. Now, in today's...
Just one more thing, because it just hit me.
Sure.
When Boone has a reluctance after a season to describe the year as a failure, when the team does not reach their goal after they get eliminated by the Astros, and when they do not reach their goal of winning a World Series, that's a problem.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, also another thing with today's modern player, they make so much money that it's really not so much the money as opposed to where they want to play when they feel comfortable, like Ohtani. You know, I don't know. My other question was, what do you think Soto's going to do next year? Do you think the Yankees should give him that huge contract? And they might be the same mediocre team that they have now and have a bigger salary, you know, a bigger budget now than they're paying now.
Well, record-wise, the Yankees are not mediocre. So let's record-wise, they're not. They're a well above 500 team. They're a healthy team. They're a game out of the American League East. So I never want to paint it that record-wise they're mediocre. They've played bad baseball for the last 6-7 weeks. They're 10 games under 500 over their last 26 games. That's bad baseball. There's no other way to cut it. What do I think that Juan Soto is going to do? Listen, Peter, I think whoever has the biggest check and whoever's going to pay him the most, I think ultimately that's where Juan Soto is going to go. If I have to guess, I don't know Juan Soto from a hole in the wall. I've been in his presence a couple times, right? I've been in the gaggle with reporters, all that stuff. I'm not going to pretend to tell you I exactly know what Juan Soto is thinking on this Thursday. I think he enjoys being a Yankee, but he made it perfectly clear on his introductory Zoom call after the Yankees acquired him from the San Diego Padres that he is looking forward to playing with Aaron Judge this upcoming season. Didn't say for the future, made it perfectly clear this season. His every intention, obviously, with his agent of testing free agency and hitting the open market. And we know that Steve Cohen is the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball. So if you connect the dots, you know, that it's, I think Soto's going to be here in New York. I just don't know if it's going to be with the Mets or the Yankees.
Got it. Okay, well, thank you for my call. And one other point I wanted to make out.
Yeah.
You know, they have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. They should have enough. I think they're doing a poor job of talent, of picking up talent, because they should have enough talent to contend for a World Series. I mean, how much more do they need to spend to say, hey, you know, we got a super team, you know?
Yeah, they should. I mean, the Yankees' payroll right now is sitting at $316 million. The Dodgers' payroll is $330. The Yankees made $679. The Dodgers made $549. The Yankees, if you're going to base it on 2023 revenue, they've spent 46.5% of their revenue on the 24 season that they made in 23. Rivervale, New Jersey, we go. It's Eric. What's going on, Eric?
Ooh, how are we doing, buddy?
Eric, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How's the dog? How's Chip doing?
You know what? He hasn't gone to the bathroom in like 36 hours, but that's a positive. He's on a probiotic.
There you go.
He's eating white rice. He hasn't puked. He hasn't had diarrhea. I know I got some tweets yesterday about talking about diarrhea around lunchtime, just updating the story that we talked about. But it was a, thank God for the vet, Nolan. Thank God we dropped him off that day. Couldn't take another day of him being sick. I don't know what he caught. I don't know what he ate. He's a puppy. I have no idea. But it was, for 5 days, it was a disaster at the Melusis house. It just was. And, you know, I think Chip's going to make it. He's going to be A-okay. I don't know if I could say the same thing about myself with my wife, but the Chip's going to be okay. Chip's going to be fine. He's going to be wagging his tail. He's going to be running around the yard. He's going to be A-okay.
Right, as if nothing ever happened. That's how it goes with
that. Well, that's exactly right. You know? No, listen, I got the tremendous advice from Hoff across the way. Give it a couple years. My wife threw it. Hoff, by the way, Donna was listening. She appreciates that. She goes, yeah, you know, Chip doesn't have a couple years.
at least you're on the other side of it, so I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
On the Yankees here in Lester, I mean, I saw that tweet live, actually, you know, the other night, like when it came out. I was, like, kind of shocked, and I was actually listening to Keith, because that's when it dropped. And I just thought, I'm looking at him, where did this come from? What did he respond to? Like, and there's nothing there. And, I was just talking to Hans, and I heard that you mentioned that he was responding to, you know, kind of what was happening at the All-Star game and you know, the Yankees getting some grief from Ortiz or the like. And I'm like, okay, so what? I mean, at what point is this new news where, you know, the Yankees are the big bad wolves and everybody kind of, you know, likes to see the Yankees fail? Well, I mean, that's not news. But what is news to me is that somebody like Nestor, while the Yankees whip in to the All-Star break, they send three guys to the All-Star game, one of which had no business being there and didn't even warm up to begin with. And, like, I just don't understand where he gets off doing this. It's so, I mean, I almost hate to say this because it sounds pretentious, but it's so un-Yankee-like. It's just it's a complete, like, to your point, culture shift. It's so different now with these Yankees. And it's, you know, it's more of the same. We talked about it the other day, like with Boone saying, everything's in front of us. Like, all these finances, all this nonsense that's just, like, just go out and win baseball games. Keep your mouth shut. Stay off social media. Like,
they're on rabbit ears. Listen, I'm sure. I didn't live Nestor's life and his journey in Major League Baseball. I give him a ton of credit. He worked his rear end off. He's earned a starting job. He's a starting pitcher for the New York Yankees. Every road's a little bit different, right? So I give Nestor Cortez a ton of credit, you know, for cutting through, fighting for it, and earning the starting job. I'm not talking about him losing his job. It's just the overall mentality, Eric. When I read that tweet, that bothers me. I'm sure he's proud to be a Yankee. I'm sure he feels great putting on that pinstripe jersey whenever the Yankees have a home game and he's toeing the rubber and he's starting that game. I'm sure he does. That has nothing to do with it. This is not about contending or being there in the Yankees, first and foremost, have not been in there, been there at the end in years. I mean, the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. They haven't gone through the American League. I mean, the Astros see the Yankees and they see they're ripe with opportunity. They can't wait to beat them. They can't wait to embarrass them. They can't wait to go out there and dance on the base pass. I mean, that's what the Astros like to do to the Yankees.
And that's the thing. Like, that's to me that was so frustrating when I read it. It's like, the Yankees are no longer
you know, that big bad wolf. Like, teams look forward to beating the Yankees. They are no longer intimidated by the New York Yankees. So that is a cultural shift. And also, yeah, we haven't won a World Series in 15 years as an organization. So what are we, what is he thinking? And it's also like, it's that fan, you know, that Yankee fan that always talks about the 27 championships. It's like, who cares? Right? Like, the legacy and the pinstripes, I understand that. Like, I respect that, but that's all the more reason why he should have thought. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right. But Eric, that is what used to be the selling point. We hold, we have a higher standard. We hold it, you know, more accountable. That used to be it. It's no longer it. And if you're okay with that as a fan, so be it. That's fine. If you're like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't mean. But then, you know, if you're going to tell me that part of the draw of bringing Soto back is because of the history, the differentiation between the Yankees and everybody else, well, that's nonsense then, too. Can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Can't tell me one thing and then say another. Like, I'm all for, you know, the history. I'm all for the accountability. I'm not one where everybody deserves a trophy. I'm not a participation trophy kind of guy. I'm really not. This is professional sports. Major League Baseball. New York Yankees. It's a brand above and beyond everybody else, right? They're worth over $7 billion. I got one of their starting pitchers reacting to Gunnar Henderson and David Ortiz on social media to what them, you know, ripping the Yankees a little bit. I'm sure he's excited to be a Yankee. It's not about contending. It's about winning. That's the mentality. That's the pressure point. And maybe that, and I think, that pressure point no longer exists. 11:57, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Heyman joins us at 12:20. We're rolling right up until 2. Sean and Tiki, come your way then.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So a lot of people are always quick to say, fire this guy, fire that guy. We've got to get rid of this other guy. But they never have the solution. If you fire a player, give me who you're going to replace him with. That's number one. Number two, I heard a caller earlier talking about the young Steinbrenner versus the old George Steinbrenner, who would be able to go out and get any player he wanted. Okay, well, tell me who you want to get. You know, it's not that easy to just say these players are available
well,
and
is,
I can get them.
That is, a lot of, I mean, that is not team. True. I mean, that is not true. I remember as a youngster when the Yankees wined and dined Barry Bonds, who was leaving the Pirates, and wined and dined Greg Maddux when he was leaving the Cubs, I think at the old 21 Club here in New York City. And I believe, if memory serves me correct, that Susan Waldman, at that time, who was a station reporter, and she'd cover the Yankees, the Knicks, and was there with the Riley days and everything like that. And obviously, Susan, a legendary voice here on this radio station, provided the updates of that dinner that evening when the Yankees tried to get those two free agents to come here to New York. Now, we know what happened, right? Bonds ended up going to San Francisco, signing with the Giants, and Bonds and Maddux ended up going to the Atlanta Braves. So those were two guys the Yankees at that stage wanted to bring in. Both of them said thanks, but no thanks. Let's be honest. I mean, Roger Clemens initially didn't want to become a Yankee. I mean, that's, you know, yep. Yankees wanted Clemens earlier, and you look at, so, you know, yes, there's a stage where the Yankees have swooped in. They've gotten Sabathia in the past. They got, obviously, A.J. Burdett. They went and got Mark Teixeira under the cloak of the night. Nobody was expecting that at the time. And then Cashman swooped in and signed Mark Teixeira. They brought in Jason Giambi. I'm not talking about the fact that the Yankees need every single star in order to go out there and win. It's the mindset and the cultural shift that bothers me.
You're right. Now, in today's...
just one more thing, because it just hit me.
Sure.
When Boone has a reluctance after a season to describe the year as a failure, when the team does not reach their goal after they get eliminated by the Astros, and when they do not reach their goal of winning a World Series, that's a problem.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, also another thing with today's modern player, they make so much money that it's really not so much the money as opposed to where they want to play when they feel comfortable, like Ohtani. You know, I don't know. My other question was, what do you think Soto's going to do next year? Do you think the Yankees should give him that huge contract? And they might be the same mediocre team that they have now and have a bigger salary, you know, a bigger budget now than they're paying now.
Well, record-wise, the Yankees are not mediocre. So let's record-wise, they're not. They're a well above 500 team. They're a healthy team. They're a game out of the American League East. So I never want to paint it that record-wise they're mediocre. They've played bad baseball for the last 6-7 weeks. They're 10 games under 500 over their last 26 games. That's bad baseball. There's no other way to cut it. What do I think that Juan Soto is going to do? Listen, Peter, I think whoever has the biggest check and whoever's going to pay him the most, I think ultimately that's where Juan Soto is going to go. If I have to guess, I don't know Juan Soto from a hole in the wall. I've been in his presence a couple times, right? I've been in the gaggle with reporters, all that stuff. I'm not going to pretend to tell you I exactly know what Juan Soto is thinking on this Thursday. I think he enjoys being a Yankee, but he made it perfectly clear on his introductory Zoom call after the Yankees acquired him from the San Diego Padres that he is looking forward to playing with Aaron Judge this upcoming season. Didn't say for the future, made it perfectly clear this season. His every intention, obviously, with his agent of testing free agency and hitting the open market. And we know that Steve Cohen is the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball. So if you connect the dots, you know that it's, I think Soto's going to be here in New York. I just don't know if it's going to be with the Mets or the Yankees.
Got it. Okay, well, thank you for my call. And one other point I wanted to make out.
Yeah.
You know, they have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. They should have enough. I think they're doing a poor job of talent, of picking up talent, because they should have enough talent to contend for a World Series. I mean, how much more do they need to spend to say, hey, you know, we got a super team, you know?
Yeah, they should. I mean, the Yankees' payroll right now is sitting at $316 million. The Dodgers' payroll is $330. The Yankees made $679. The Dodgers made $549. The Yankees, if you're going to base it on 2023 revenue, they've spent 46.5% of their revenue on the 24 season that they made in 23. Rivervale, New Jersey, we go. It's Eric. What's going on, Eric?
Ooh, how are we doing, buddy?
Eric, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How's the dog? How's Chip doing?
You know what? He hasn't gone to the bathroom in like 36 hours, but that's a positive. He's on a probiotic.
There you go.
He's eating white rice. He hasn't puked. He hasn't had diarrhea. I know I got some tweets yesterday about talking about diarrhea around lunchtime, just updating the story that we talked about. But it was a, thank God for the vet, Nolan. Thank God we dropped him off that day. Couldn't take another day of him being sick. I don't know what he caught. I don't know what he ate. He's a puppy. I have no idea. But it was, for 5 days, it was a disaster at the Melusis house. It just was. And, you know, I think Chip's going to make it. He's going to be A-okay. I don't know if I could say the same thing about myself with my wife, but the Chip's going to be okay. Chip's going to be fine. He's going to be wagging his tail. He's going to be running around the yard. He's going to be A-okay.
Right, as if nothing ever happened. That's how it goes with
that. That's exactly right. You know? No, listen, I got the tremendous advice from Hoff across the way. Give it a couple years. My wife threw it. Hoff, by the way, Donna was listening. She appreciates that. She goes, yeah, you know, Chip doesn't have a couple years.
Well, at least you're on the other side of it, so I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
On the Yankees here in restaurant, I mean, I saw that tweet live, actually, you know, the other night, like when it came out. I was like kind of shocked, and I was actually listening to Keith, because that's when it dropped. And I just thought, I'm looking at him, where did this come from? What did he respond to? Like, and there's nothing there. And I was just talking to Hans, and I heard you mention that he was responding to, you know, kind of what was happening at the All-Star game and you know, the Yankees getting some grief from Ortiz or the like. And I'm like, okay, so what? I mean, at what point is this new news where, you know, the Yankees are the big bad wolf and everybody kind of, you know, likes to see the Yankees fail? Well, I mean, that's not news. But what is news to me is that somebody like Nestor, while the Yankees whip in to the All-Star break, they send three guys to the All-Star game, one of which had no business being there and didn't even warm up to begin with. And, like, I just don't understand where he gets off doing this. It's so, I mean, I almost hate to say this because it sounds pretentious, but it's so un-Yankee-like. It's just it's a complete, like, to your point, culture shift. It's so different now with these Yankees. And it's, you know, it's more of the same. We talked about it the other day, like with Boo was saying, everything's in front of us. Like, all these finances, all this nonsense that's just, like, just go out and win baseball games. Keep your mouth shut. Stay off social media. Like,
they're not rabbit ears.
Listen,
I'm sure. I didn't live Nestor's life and his journey in Major League Baseball. I give him a ton of credit. He worked his rear end off. He's earned a starting job. He's a starting pitcher for the New York Yankees. Every road's a little bit different, right? So I give Nestor Cortez a ton of credit, you know, for cutting through, fighting for it, and earning the starting job. I'm not talking about him losing his job. It's just the overall mentality, Eric, when I read that tweet. That bothers me. I'm sure he's proud to be a Yankee. I'm sure he feels great putting on that pinstripe jersey whenever the Yankees have a home game and he's toeing the rubber and he's starting that game. I'm sure he does. That has nothing to do with it. This is not about contending or being there in the Yankees, first and foremost, have not been in there, been there at the end in years. I mean, the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. They haven't gotten through the American League. I mean, the Astros see the Yankees and they see they're ripe with opportunity. They can't wait to beat them. They can't wait to embarrass them. They can't wait to go out there and dance on the base pass. I mean, that's what the Astros like to do to the Yankees.
And that's the thing. Like, that's to me that was so frustrating when I read it. It's like the Yankees are no longer, you know, that big bad wolf. Like, teams look forward to beating the Yankees. They are no longer intimidated by the New York Yankees. So that is a cultural shift. And also, yeah, we haven't won a World Series in 15 years as an organization. So what are we, like, what is he thinking? And it's also like, it's that fan you know, that Yankee fan that always talks about the 27 championships. It's like, who cares? Right? Like, the legacy and the pinstripes, I understand that. Like, I respect that, but that's all the more reason why he should have thought. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right. And but, Eric, that is what used to be the selling point. We hold, we have a higher standard. We hold it, you know, more accountable. That used to be it. It's no longer it. And if you're okay with that as a fan, so be it. That's fine. If you're like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't mean. But then, you know, if you're going to tell me that part of the draw of bringing Soto back is because of the history, the differentiation between the Yankees and everybody else, well, that's nonsense then, too. Can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Can't tell me one thing and then say another. Like, I'm all for, you know, the history. I'm all for the accountability. I'm not one where everybody deserves a trophy. I'm not a participation trophy kind of guy. I'm really not. This is professional sports. Major League Baseball. New York Yankees. It's a brand above and beyond everybody else, right? They're worth over $7 billion. I got one of their starting pitchers reacting to Gunnar Henderson and David Ortiz on social media to what them, you know, ripping the Yankees a little bit. I'm sure he's excited to be a Yankee. It's not about contending. It's about winning. That's the mentality. That's the pressure point. And maybe that, and I think, that pressure point no longer exists. 11:57, Malus is with you. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Heyman joins us at 12:20. We're rolling right up until 2. Sean and Tiki, come your way then.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.